Good morning, and welcome to the Friday edition of Times the Brief. I'm Harvey Kojan, and these are the top stories of the day. After days of protests in Chicago since the release of a video showing a black teenager shot 16 times by a white police officer, demonstrators were poised to disrupt Black Friday shopping with a march through the heart of the city's most famous retail district. Demonstrators scheduled the march on Friday, the traditional beginning of the holiday shopping season that packs Michigan Avenue's Magnificent Mile. Activists are hoping to bring attention to the October 20, 2014 slaying of 17-year-old Laquan McDonald and an investigation into his shooting that some say was mishandled. This is going to give an opportunity for all of Chicago to come out, demonstrate their outrage and their anger in a nonviolent way, and interrupt the economic engine of Black Friday, said the Reverend Michael Flegger, a Roman Catholic priest and prominent local activist. The graphic dash cam video that shows McDonald being shot repeatedly by Officer Jason Van Dyke was released Tuesday, the same day Van Dyke was charged with first-degree murder. He's been ordered held without bail. In recent days, there has been talk that marchers taking part in the Black Friday protest would engage in acts of civil disobedience, such as blocking store entrances to prevent shoppers from getting inside. On Thursday, one of the march's leaders, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, said no such acts were planned, but they could happen. Some people may do that, I don't know, Jackson said. Jesse Davis of the group Stop Mass Incarceration Network said there have been calls on social media for people to engage in civil disobedience, and Charlene Carruthers, national director of the activist group Black Youth Project 100, would not rule out such actions. Flegger said he thinks the march itself will cost businesses money because the publicity surrounding it will discourage shoppers from even venturing into that area. It wasn't immediately clear how many people would turn out, but there were indications that it would be a bigger crowd than the other marches and rallies, which so far have attracted anywhere from a few dozen to a few hundred demonstrators. I expect this will be bigger than the others. Maybe the number of marchers will be in the thousands, Davis said. All previous marches have been largely peaceful. There have been isolated clashes between police and protesters, with about 10 arrests and only a few minor reports of property damage. The police have allowed protesters to march in the middle of the street and even hold rallies in the middle of intersections, and on Thursday the department said it would handle Friday's march much the same way. Throughout the week, protesters have expressed anger over the video of the shooting. They've also harshly criticized the department for its months-long effort to prevent the video from being released and the state attorney's office for taking more than a year to file charges against the officer despite having footage of the incident. Van Dyke's attorney has said the officer feared for his life when he fired at McDonald and that the case should be tried in the courtroom, not in social media or on city streets. Van Dyke and other officers were responding to a report of a teen with a knife who had been breaking into cars on the night McDonald was shot. The video released Tuesday shows McDonald jogging down a street and then veering away from Van Dyke and another officer who emerged from a police SUV drawing their guns. Within seconds, Van Dyke begins firing. McDonald spins around and falls to the pavement as Van Dyke keeps shooting. This article posted by Don Babwin for the Associated Press in Chicago. Poland will not extradite Oscar-winning filmmaker Roman Polanski to the U.S. in an almost 40-year-old case after prosecutors declined to challenge a court ruling against it. Prosecutors in Krakow, who had sought the extradition on behalf of the U.S., said Friday they found the court's refusal of extradition to be right and said they found no grounds to appeal it. Polanski's lawyer told the Associated Press that Polanski's reaction was of great relief and of satisfaction that the irregularities in the U.S. procedure have been exposed. Polanski spoke to his lawyer over the phone from Paris, where he lives with his family. The decision by the prosecutors closes the case in Poland and means Polanski, 82, is free to reside and work in Poland, where he grew up and studied filmmaking and where he is preparing to make a new movie. Preparations for the movie were stalled by the extradition request that the U.S. made last year. The director pleaded guilty in 1977 to one count of unlawful sexual intercourse with a 13-year-old girl during a photo shoot in Los Angeles. In a deal with the judge, he served more than a month in prison, but then fled the U.S. fearing the judge would have him imprisoned for much longer. The U.S. has been seeking to bring Polanski back and put him before a court. A judge in Krakow ruled last month that Polanski's extradition is inadmissible, arguing that the U.S. trial was not fair and that Polanski would not face a fair trial there. The Krakow prosecutor said in a statement they agreed with the court's reasoning. Among the irregularities, the court and the prosecutors named violation of Polanski's right to defense, unethical discussions between the judge and only one side of the case, informal instructions to the judges, intentional destruction of some of the documents in the case, and loss of some others, and excessive sensitivity of the judges to criticism in the media. This article posted by Monica Sislawska for the Associated Press in Warsaw, Poland.
Can you handle the hot heat rising? On Tuesday, it was reported that Adele's 25 had broken the single-week sales record previously held by NSYNC's No Strings Attached, which sold 2.416 million in the U.S. when it was released in March 2000. Just 2 days later, Billboard reports that 25 has surpassed 3 million in sales. When Adele's highly anticipated third outing was released last week, there was no doubt that it would be the highest selling of the year. Now, with a little more than 1 day left in the tracking week, we have to wonder what dizzying heights the album will have reached when the debut week sales are released on Sunday. I'm Steve Ray. This article was originally written for Entertainment Weekly and authored for Time by Amanda Michelle Steiner.
A new poll released ahead of the UN-led climate change conference in Paris says that support around the world for an ambitious global climate change deal has slipped in recent years. Only 4 of the 20 countries surveyed displayed majority support for setting lofty targets for the upcoming conference, according to the BBC. Less than half of the people surveyed considered climate change a very serious issue, according to GlobeScan's research group, the BBC reports. In 2009, the same poll showed that 63% were seriously concerned about climate change. 1,000 individuals were surveyed in each of the 20 countries involved in the study, the BBC says. World leaders are hoping to achieve an actionable climate change plan at the COP21 Paris conference beginning on November 30th. The Copenhagen Climate Conference, held in 2009, failed to do so. This article posted by Joanna Plusinska. Malian special forces have arrested 2 men over last week's attack on a luxury hotel in the capital that killed 19 people, according to a statement distributed Friday morning. The statement identified the 2 Malians, both arrested in Bamako, but provided no other details on their background or their potential roles in the attack. Questioning of these suspects will shed more light on the motivations of the perpetrators of the sordid terrorist attack perpetrated at the Radisson Blue Hotel on November 20th, said the statement sent by Army Major Modibo Naman Traore. 2 gunmen armed with Kalashnikov assault rifles and explosives stormed the hotel before 7 a.m., striking just as security guards were about to change shifts. After shooting 4 of the 5 guards, killing 1, they fired wildly in the lobby and breakfast dining area before heading to the hotel's upper floors. Malian troops, backed by French and American special forces, swarmed in to retake the building and free terrified guests and hotel staff during a siege that lasted more than 7 hours. The gunmen were killed at the scene, and on Monday, state media broadcast their photos, asking anyone with information about them to come forward. The attack has been claimed by the Almora Batoon extremist group, which said it had worked in concert with Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. The attack was also claimed, however, by the Messina Liberation Front, a group active in central Mali in cooperation with Ansar Dine militants. On Sunday, Almora Batoun issued a statement purporting to identify the gunmen, using names suggesting they were Malian, but authorities have yet to confirm their identities. The 19 dead included an American aid worker, 3 senior officials with a Chinese railway company, and 6 employees of a Russian cargo company, in addition to 3 hotel employees. This article posted by the Associated Press in Bamako, Mali.
The rain that swamped the middle of the United States was running into a frigid weather system sweeping from the north on Thursday, setting up a holiday weekend that forecasters said would be a travel nightmare. Dominica Davis, a forecaster for the Weather Channel, said, quote, "This storm is really going to be an ice and rainmaker from the Great Lakes to the Southern Plains beginning Thursday night and well into the weekend. A huge band of ice warnings and advisories extended through Saturday covered the middle part of the country." I'm Steve Ray. The authors of this story for Time use sources provided by NBC News and the Weather Channel.
Pope Francis denounced the conditions slum dwellers are forced to live in during a visit to one of Nairobi's many shanty towns Friday, saying that access to safe water is a basic human right and that everyone should have dignified, adequate housing. Residents of the slum lined the mud streets to welcome Francis, standing alongside goats and hens outside the corrugated tin-roofed shacks where the shantytown's many small businesses operate, beauty parlors, cell phone top-up shops, and storefront evangelical churches. Those lucky enough to score access to St. Joseph's Parish erupted in cheers and hymns when Francis arrived at the open-sided church that served the slum of about 50,000 people. In remarks to the crowd, Francis insisted that everyone should have access to water, a basic sewage system, garbage collection, electricity, as well as schools, hospitals, and sport facilities. To deny a family water, under any bureaucratic pretext whatsoever, is a great injustice, especially when one profits from this need, he said. The Pope has frequently insisted on the need for the 3 L's, land, labor, and lodging, and on Friday he focused on lodging as a critical issue facing the world amid rapid urbanization that is helping to upset Earth's delicate ecological balance. The slum, which is called Kanjemi, is one of 11 dotting Nairobi, East Africa's largest city, and people here struggle without basic sanitation. Francis denounced the injustice of urban exclusion that has forced some 60% of Nairobi's population to move to slums that cover just 6% of the city's residential land, according to 2014 figures from the UN Habitat Program. These are wounds inflicted by minorities who cling to power and wealth, who selfishly squander while a growing majority is forced to flee to abandoned, filthy, and run-down peripheries, Francis said. Francis told the residents that people forced to live in slums actually share values that wealthier neighborhoods can learn from, solidarity and looking out for one another. But he said it was unjust that entire families are forced to live in unfit housing, often at exorbitant prices. He called for a respectful urban integration with concrete initiatives to provide good quality housing for all. His message was welcomed by residents of Kanjemi, who said the city only pipes in water 3 days a week, Tuesday through Thursday, but it's not safe to drink. Garbage collection goes to only those who can pay for it. Some people don't have toilets in their homes, said Emily Knight, a mother of 2 who works at the St. Joseph's HIV counseling program. Those that do, maybe 50 people are using it. Things aren't much better in nearby Kabiria slum. It's difficult. There is no water. We drink well water, said Rebecca Nanzala, who attended the Pope's visit with the youngest of her 3 children, 2-year-old Mary. Some treat it, some don't. Francis raised the issue of environmental deterioration in cities in his landmark encyclical Praise Be, saying many megacities today have simply become health threats, not only because of pollution caused by toxic emissions, but also as a result of urban chaos, poor transportation, and visual pollution and noise. Many cities are huge, inefficient structures, excessively wasteful of energy and water. Neighborhoods, even those recently built, are congested, chaotic, and lacking in sufficient green spaces. We were not meant to be inundated by cement, asphalt, glass, and metal, and deprived of physical contact with nature, he said. After the visit to Kanjemi, Francis received a rock star welcome at Nairobi's Kasarani Sports Stadium, where he zoomed around the track in his open-sided Popemobile to the delight of the crowd. Later Friday, Francis has a private meeting with Kenya's bishops and then heads to Uganda for the second leg of his trip. There, he'll honor the country's Anglican and Catholic martyrs. On Sunday, he is due to arrive in the Central African Republic, the most dangerous leg of the pilgrimage given the ongoing conflict between Christians and Muslims. The Vatican spokesman, the Reverend Federico Lombardi, said Thursday night that plans hadn't changed and that the Bangui leg of the trip was still on. This article posted by Nicole Winfield for the Associated Press in Nairobi, Kenya. Following on the heels of outdoor retailer REI's decision to close on Black Friday and encourage people to skip the malls and enjoy a day in the peaceful outdoors instead, select park systems around the country have decided to welcome visitors for free on the consumerism-driven day traditionally considered the Super Bowl of shopping. First, last week, the Minnesota State Park System announced it would be extra easy to opt outside, the hashtag REI created for the campaign, on Black Friday because admission will be free at all 75 state park and recreation areas that day. With free park entry all day, you have no excuse not to get out there and walk off your turkey dinner, the announcement stated. The initiative encouraging folks out into the wild has been dubbed Free Park Friday. Minnesota's move was followed this week by a state that'll likely have warmer weather on Black Friday, California. The state's Save the Redwoods League is sponsoring a special Free Friday in the Redwoods event, in which admission to 49 California state parks is free on Friday, November 27th. Visitors must download and print out a pass in order to get free admission at participating parks, which are generally located along the coast from Big Sur all the way up to the Oregon border. Normal admission fees to these parks vary, but generally run around $8 per vehicle for a day pass. It's worth noting that admission to Redwoods National Park is always free. We are starting a new tradition for Black Friday, Sam Hodder, president and chief executive officer of Save the Redwoods League, said in a press release. We invite everyone to experience the moments of joy, renewal, and inspiration that you'll find among our natural wonders, the ancient giant redwoods. Missouri state parks have also jumped into the mix with a special offer of free camping on Black Friday. In the spirit of offering unbeatable Black Friday deals, Missouri State Parks is sponsoring free camping on the evening of Friday, November 27th, the State Park Association explained. No fees will be collected for first-come, first-served campsites. Note that admission to Missouri State Parks is always free. On a much smaller scale, the World's End, a 251-acre farm and nature preserve with walking trails and views of the Boston skyline and the harbor, is also waiving its usual admission fee, $6 for adults, on Black Friday. World's End, you see, is run by the Trustees of the Reservations, a nonprofit group that includes REI as one of its corporate sponsors. Hopefully, this only represents the start of a free park admission trend on Black Friday. We'll update the story if and when we hear of more parks offering free admission and other free features on the day. This article posted by Brad Tuttle. China's main stock market index fell more than 5% after two of the country's biggest securities firms announced they are under investigation for possible misconduct. The Shanghai Composite Index on Friday fell 5.2% before recovering slightly. The decline was led by CITIC Securities and Guosen Securities, which fell by the full 10% daily limit following announcements by both that they were under investigation. A growing string of Chinese securities executives have been detained or questioned by regulators following a plunge in share prices that began in early June. The announcements by CITIC and Guosen were the first that brokerages themselves were being investigated. This article posted by the Associated Press in Beijing.
Black Friday wasn't yet called Black Friday in 1948. Nor do the newspapers from that era offer evidence of stampedes or overnight lines that have become par for the course on the day after Thanksgiving, but the kickoff to the holiday shopping season has long been a red-letter retail day. Images of preparations for that season at Macy's, then at 1 million square feet, the biggest store in the world, bespeak a highly orchestrated operation relying upon 14,000 employees to ready 400,000 items to be swept off shelves by 250,000 eager shoppers. Planning entailed both logistical and motivational efforts. At a giant pep rally, the morale of staff members was lifted by a harmonious rendition of Jingle Bells. Telephone operators prepared to respond to as many as 6 questions per minute. Plainclothes employee detectives trained to spot shoplifters from among the hordes. And clerks readied themselves to handle fluid pricing on that year's hottest items. From striped pajamas to simulated pearls to Macy's house brand scotch, which fluctuated as many as 5 times per day as reports of competitors' pricing came in. When all was said and done, when the bargains had been scored and the pajamas set sold, all that was left behind was 1 million square feet of a giant heaping mess. I'm Steve Ray. This story for Time was authored by Eliza Berman. Done with turkey? Ditch the malls and head for the hills. Dozens of outdoor retailers and several state parks have joined REI's national crusade to close stores on Black Friday and encourage shoppers to enjoy nature instead. The company's CEO, Jerry Streisky, said in a statement, quote, "The idea has struck a chord far more than we expected. Clearly, people are looking to do something a bit different with their time." REI announced last month it would close all of its 143 stores in the U.S. on Black Friday and pay its 12,000 employees to take off on one of the outdoor and athletic supply stores' top sales days of the year. The company encouraged employees and customers to get outside rather than shop. The Seattle-based company's hashtag #OptOutside movement quickly went viral and prompted nearly 1 million social media users to share the Twitter hashtag. More than 150 companies, nonprofit organizations, and state and federal agencies have been supporting the idea, according to REI. Dozens of state parks, including those in Minnesota, California, Oregon, Colorado, and Delaware, will waive entry fees on November 27th. Washington State's Mount Rainier and Olympic National Parks also plan to give out free passes that day, as Tennessee offers free, guided hikes at all 56 of its parks. Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation Deputy Commissioner Brock Hill said in a statement, quote, "While REI is challenging its employees and customers to get outside on Black Friday, we challenge all of those folks to visit a Tennessee state park that day and see what we have to offer." State parks in Kansas, Massachusetts, and Missouri say they would give out special offers. Adventure seekers can take advantage of the free overnight camping in Missouri's state park on Friday. Some community groups are offering local outings and access to trails, while Methow Trails in Washington State doles out free ski passes to REI members. REI's Streisky said, quote, "We did this to share our passion for reconnecting with the people we love in the outdoor places we love. But honestly, we are surprised by and very grateful for the number of groups joining in." End of quote. I'm Steve Ray. The author of this story for Time is Melissa Chan. Pope Francis has warned that it would be catastrophic for world leaders to let special interest groups get in the way of a global agreement to curb fossil fuel emissions on the eve of make-or-break climate change talks in Paris. Pope Francis issued the pointed warning in a speech to the UN's regional office in Nairobi on Thursday after celebrating his first public mass on the continent, a joyous rain-soaked ceremony before 300,000 faithful that saw the Argentinian Pope being serenaded by ululating Swahili singers, swaying nuns, Maasai tribesmen, and dancing children dressed in the colors of Kenya's flag. I'm Steve Ray. The authors of this article for Time use sources provided by NBC News.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Harvey Kojan, and you've been listening to the daily edition of Time's The Brief. To get this sent to your inbox every morning, go to time.com/thebrief. You can also subscribe through iTunes or your favorite podcast app. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, enjoy the day.